This is The God Show, a conversation about the human spirit, with your host, Pat McMahon.
Oh, listen, if you're in the West, aren't you glad? I mean, unless you're in Montana or Wyoming listening to this, because, boy, the storms in the East are just ridiculous. We're going to try to warm things up today with an old friend of mine and yours, Dr. Kevin Lehman. It'll take me the first half of the program to talk about credits on The God Show. Dr. Kevin Lehman, PhD, psychologist, New York Times best-selling author. Get this now, get this, over 50 books. So many books that every time I have Kevin on the show, a couple of times a year, I have to check with him about what the total now is up to. Most of us have not read 50 books. TV guest everywhere, all over the networks, and most particularly on radio and The God Show. And of course now, and most recently, the founder of Lehman's Academies of Excellence. And Kevin, it is always such a pleasure to have you on, because all I have to do is to say, here's Lehman, and then you do the rest of the show.
You know, I should tell people this, that we do go way back. I remember it was at least 40 years ago that we met, because you and I and my youngest daughter, or one of my younger daughters, Chrissy, went out to Tommaso's.
Oh.
For dinner. And I remember she was 10 years old, so I know it was at least 40 years ago, Pat. But, you know, I've told people, in fact, I've written about you and a couple of other gentlemen who've interviewed me in my career, and I always said that Pat McMahon was one of the top three for sure of anybody who ever interviewed me, because no one could go from a commercial that sounded warm and friendly. I mean, I've been tempted to buy a Lennar home for years. And you would just segue into the interview, and I wasn't sure the interview had started, and found out we were about to break, and the first section snippet was about over with. So you will always be great in stature in my eyes. I've always enjoyed talking to you, and we've always had fun. And as I tell people, the older I get, if it's not fun, I don't want to do it.
What I want to know, though, is before we go any further, who are the other two guys in the top three?
Well, one of them was out of WJR.
Yeah, Detroit.
He was an only child, by the way.
Oh, really? I guess that makes at least two of us.
Yeah, only children do well in life. I mean, a lot of people. I'm blanking on his name. Help me out.
Who, the third one?
No, the second one, the WJR guy.
Well, there could have been many, but I don't think
JP.
Oh, JP McCarthy, yeah.
Yeah, he was wonderful. And, you know, I've done to Brian Gumbel, and I've done, you know, what's her name? The glass ceiling lady, as you can tell, when I start to pull up names now at age 80, it sometimes gets difficult. But no,
Barbara Walters.
Not them all, but...
What I love best is the fact that you remembered my name, but not the other two. So that's fine, as long as there are three of us, two of which are anonymous. And Dr. Kevin Lehman, listen, with all of the extraordinary titles of the broad range of family advice and skilled observational help that you provide, along with humor, I'm going to ask you right now to go right to the academies and answer the question, does a child have to be excellent at the academies of excellence? Child have to be excellent in order to be accepted?
No, in fact, we take, Pat, what comes through the door. So we have kids that come with a lot of labels where they have learning deficiencies of different kinds, and we have a staff that deals with them. We're on a lottery system because we are a charter school, but charter schools are public schools. So we do take what walks in the door. I can't get, I have no influence over who gets in our schools, and they tell me I'm the founder, so... It's all legislated through the state, and we have a commitment to expect the best of the scholars that come our way. And so please don't try to give someone at Lehman Academy an excuse, because we don't accept excuses. Excuses make the weak weaker. So we're more apt to say, okay, here's where you are. This is what you have to know. Your second grader is actually in a third grade curriculum. Your kinder is in a first grade curriculum. So people accuse public schools of dumbing it down. And some do, quite frankly, but we don't. We have high expectations for our scholars. Scholars earn crowns. We're a classical school, which among other things means we're historical based, and kids learn Spanish in kindergarten and Latin in the third grade and logic in the sixth grade. And we have high expectations for our scholars. And you and your lovely bride, Duffy, have been in my school. You have seen firsthand how the kids behave. Number one, our expectations is you will behave. And it's amazing. Treat kids in the way you expect them to behave. And guess what? They behave that way.
I guess probably that wouldn't be a bad rule for parents, too. And we're going to get into parenting as we continue this visit with Dr. Kevin Lehman. And as I said to the audience at the beginning, for those folks who are new to The God Show and new to Kevin Lehman and new to the academies, I've told them you've written more books than most of us have read, and that's not intended to be one of those cute intro things. It's absolutely true. Now, has it gone way beyond 50 now, or are you humbly resting at 50 books?
Pat, I got to tell you, I've got a friend in New York, and he is a friend. He sends me $20,000 or $25,000 donations every year toward my school. And he is, because we're a nonprofit, we can take people's money. But he was kind enough, he sent me a picture of him next to a bookcase of every Kevin Lehman book there is. And he reported 69, but I have some sad news. My daughter Chrissy, who you met as just a youngster,
yes,
just finished a book called Be a Great Teacher by Friday, and that will come out next year sometime. But on top of that, the publisher got so excited about that, they want three more books. So I don't know. I could die before those three get finished. Who knows?
But, okay, before we get into the specifics of the Academy, though, remind everybody who may have said, you know what, I've seen the Lehman books in the bookstore, and they're all over the place, but you just gave me a title from your daughter's book that is an avenue from a series that you've done about Till Friday. Tell the audience about that.
Yeah, you know, I got hung up on the word Friday. I wrote a book. You talk about parents. Quite frankly, most of them don't have a clue what they're doing. And it made a book like Have a New Kid by Friday get people's attention. But, you know, if you get on a New York Times bestseller list and you write books on family, marriage, you know, birth order, your chances are somewhere between slim and none, but that one reached that height of popularity. And I've got other books that are, you know, Publishers Weekly, bestsellers, et cetera. That New York Times is pretty elusive because every time Oprah brings out her new book or some big star, you sort of get dwarfed by those sales. So the Have a New Kid by Friday says such remarkable things as, an unhappy child is a healthy child. There's times your little son or daughter needs to be unhappy. Why? Because They're difficult to be around. They're nasty. They're sarcastic. They talk back. They lie. They cheat. They do things their brother and sister they shouldn't be doing. And so it's sort of a no-nonsense guide for a parent to be the authority without being an authoritarian, and certainly without being a permissive. Now translate to Lehman Academy of Excellence, and one of the things that I feel great about is that we place authority, Pat, in the teacher's hands. In public schools from Maine to California, I'm here to tell you they don't do that. They throw the teacher in, they give them a lot of verbiage about how we're working together to help expand the minds of young scholars. Well, I got news for you. What happens is the first day of school, the teacher finds out that, oh, what do you want? You want my hands behind my back? And what are those, handcuffs? And what we do literally is handcuff teachers in America today in the classroom. And that's why we have a dire need for teachers in our country, because many of them said, hey, this doesn't work. And it doesn't work, and it'll never work. So if you want a productive school, if you want a productive business, you better, as the jefe, the boss, the patron, the patrona, you had better be in authority without being an authoritarian.
But you've traveled the world. Traveled the world, Kevin. We were talking before we went on the air about an upcoming vacation. You've had the opportunity, you and your family, to be able to see so many different societies, so many different cultures. Why are so many of them different in their respect for academics in general and the teachers of their kids? Why is that so different than here?
In a lot of the more traditional societies, Pat, family is respected and manners are taught. I remember talking to a young lady who was born deep in Mexico, and I thought for sure this woman was a firstborn because every hair was in place. I mean, she looked as neat and clean as she possibly could be. I think she was 8 of 9, but I'll never forget what she told me. She told me, the parents said, it's okay to be poor, but it's not okay not to look nice and be clean and to treat other people the way you need to be treated. And unfortunately, we bring up kids in the USA to feel like they are the center of the universe. They are hedonistic little suckers from the time they're born, to put it bluntly. And parents, like fools, try to make sure little Buford and his younger brother Festus are happy at every turn in life. And happiness should not be something a parent seeks for their child, but they should teach them to be mindful that other people are important, that they're not the center of the universe, they need to care for others, that they're good citizens, that they learn to persevere, they learn to respect other people, that they're responsible, they're trustworthy. And see, those are the values that we just drive home through Lehman Academy. On top of that, just for fun, Pat, we have an etiquette dance and class for our eighth graders.
Mm.
And when they hear about this, I'm here to tell you, they hate it. They want no part of it, because it's going to be boys and girls, and we teach them to dance, which is almost comical watching that. But we also teach them what those five forks mean around that place setting. And check this out. The young man has to call the dad or the mom and tell him or her what time to expect their daughter home. We also teach them, I tell them straight out, I said, listen, especially for you boys, listen to me. I know you're just eighth grade boys, but you got to understand this about women. They're weird. They go potty in groups of 4, 6, 8, 12, and they announce they're going potty. So when you are sitting around that little round table in this formal setting in a very well-decorated gym that our parents really work hard at making really special and nice, when those girls get up, you get up, you pull that chair, and you help them up. And when they come back, which will be several minutes, trust me, just wait, gentlemen. But when they come back, you're also attentive. You make sure they're seated. So we teach kids manners. And I'm telling you, it's one of the things the eighth graders tell us when they leave, that that was one of the most special moments that we taught them how to treat other people and be aware and etiquette and just simple, yes, please, thank you. It's lacking in our society.
But Kevin, if there's a family right now, and when I say if, I know we're talking about a planet-wide broadcast, and moms and dads are jumping up and down saying, no, wait, there's no academy here. If a family has, say, around a freshman in high school, just around 14, 15 years old, and no one has been able successfully to teach that young adolescent the kinds of things that we're talking about, is there one of your books that you recommend that the kid himself or herself, no, himself, and let's just say the boys, can sit down and maybe have an assignment, chapter 4, about those kinds of basic elemental matters. One of your books that you would recommend that includes things like that?
Yeah, but you'd be surprised at what the book is, Pat, because it'd be a book called Have a New Husband by Friday.
Oh.
Now, why would I want a teenager, you said a freshman, make him 14 years old, read a book like that? Because in that book, it's really not about dumping your husband and finding yourself a new one. It's ladies. It's a book that teaches you how to talk to a man. Because most of us men do not like questions. Okay? If you want a man to talk, you ask him for his opinion. Okay? He'll talk your ear off. Ask for his opinion. And so you would think that people know this, but I'm here to tell you from the emails I get, people don't know this. I mean, if you want a man's attention, touch him. There's another way. But and don't use the Y word. The Y word is a killer.
The Y word is you?
No, the Y word is just why. They ask us
why.
All of a sudden, the defenses are up.
Oh.
So rather than say why, if your husband says something that's got you curious, and this is interesting because what I'm about to tell you is a command. And I just said men don't like questions, but listen to this command. Tell me more about that. Now, tell me more about that opens a man's mind. He's thinking, hey, she's actually interested in what I'm thinking about or what I think. But if you ask why, it just shuts things down. So I think if I had to pick a book, I mean, that's one of my favorites. I had so much fun writing that book because women, of course, think, you know, they're the communication energizer bunnies of the planet for sure. And they all think they understand as men. The problem is most of them don't have a clue. In fact, I'll cite, you know, you're on a trip, ladies, with your husband, and he's lost. And you know he's lost. And quite frankly, he knows he's lost. And you've suggested, honey, why don't we pull over and ask for directions? And I ask the question to women all across the country, why doesn't your husband pull over and ask for directions? And most women say, well, it's a macho thing with him. He's got to figure it out and all that. Well, no, there's an answer. And the answer is, we don't want to pull over and ask for directions because we're on all those cars and trucks we work so hard to pass to get by us. That's who we are.
And the name of the book is How to Have a New Husband by Friday. Now, that's among the number of books that Dr. Kevin Lehman has written, which now is beginning to challenge the Library of Congress. But with all of those books out there, and with your appearances, and all of the things that allow you a comfortable life, I got to ask you, Kevin, the same thing that I asked you a few years ago when you opened a school here in the state of Arizona. Why would you want to accept the huge responsibility of creating the Kevin Lehman Academies of Excellence?
Well, Pat, there was an old gray-haired school teacher who pulled me aside at 17 years old, second semester. I graduated fourth in my class. Unfortunately, I was fourth in the bottom and not fourth in the top. But that dear woman, she pulled me aside one day, a teacher, a math teacher, and she said, Kevin, do you ever think you could use those skills you have for something positive in life? She said, I know your family. I know your older sister, Sally. I know your older brother, Jack. I had them both. But that was the first time, Pat, that a teacher ever said to me that I had skills. She said, I've seen you take over a classroom. The teachers talk about you endlessly in the teacher lounge. Many of them really don't like you. And some of them are actually impressed with some of the impish, fun things you've created in the classroom. But I was the baby of the family, the little show-off, the little guy that made a fool of himself. But in April of my senior year, she pulled me aside, and then she tutored me in her apartment. She was what we called an old maid. She had no kids. And if she wouldn't have tutored me, I wouldn't have graduated from high school. So teachers, although I gave many of them a run for their money, I always had a high degree of respect for teachers, especially for a woman by the name of Eleanor Wilson. And so when I had an opportunity to have a charter school, I said, let's go. Let's make it happen. And about 18 months after a conversation of, hey, Kevin, would you ever want to have a charter school? And I have to tell you the truth. At that time, I didn't even know what a charter school was. It took about 15 months later, we were digging our first school, which thrives today. It's located in Marana, Arizona. We have one just to the north in Oro Valley. We have one out in Mesa on South Power Road, down Sierra Vista. And we're digging another school right now in Colorado. So that'll be our second school in Colorado. We now have 8 schools, Pat. And we have, listen to this, we have 1,600 families trying to get into our kindergarten in our new school. That's how popular they are.
Why? Why is it that there's a wide saying this is what we want? What are you doing different than the rest of the schools here in Mesa, here in Sierra Vista, in Colorado?
Schools ought to be fun. When they walk in the door, they hear music.
Oh.
We physically hand from the parent or grandparent who's ever driving the kid to school, we literally by hand, the teacher's there to meet them. And we love on them, to put it bluntly. We encourage them. We have kids every break, spring break, fall break, winter break, whatever, who are in tears because they have to go home for break.
Hmm.
I mean, it's amazing. I mean, they love the school. And if we find teachers, you know, all teachers aren't perfect. And we work with some. In fact, my daughter, Chrissy, is involved in teaching all of our teachers how to become better teachers. But once in a while, you get a teacher that's just not good. And I'll tell you what we do, Pat. We fire them.
Mm.
Because we're only as strong as our weakest teacher. So we have high expectations for staff. And we commission is to, you know, really partner with the family. And so my admonition to parents or to teachers is in the first week of school, always call home. Let that teacher know, or let that parent know, how little Michael is doing, how little Sarah is doing, and say, hey, here's my cell phone number. If you ever need me, I'm available.
Are you under a lot of pressure when you fire a teacher for any reason from the teachers' organizations?
Mama Lehman didn't raise no dumb children. So we document things and put them on a performance thing where they have to realize there needs to be some change. And when they don't, we dump them.
What do you think of the voucher system in Arizona?
It's okay. A lot of people don't like it. I think today, parents ought to have the freedom to send their kids wherever they want. You know, you get into all the arguments about, well, why should taxpayers pay for it? I mean, I've already written my quarterly for January 16th. And I just told, in fact, I'm looking at it right now. It's addressed Department of Revenue and United States Treasury. And I think of all the money I send them every 4 times a year, And I see how the stupid things, how we waste money in government. I'm not a happy camper, but it's the way it is. So anyway, in this area of freedom, I'm just saying parents have to have the freedom to be able to send their kids where they want, if we can help them. Private school is very expensive, but I'll put Lehman Academy, which is free, up against any private school anywhere, because we really do hold kids accountable, and the kids really do learn. And the recitations, Pat, that a five-year-old kid can do, I mean, I wish I was on TV, because I'm holding my hands and saying, this recitation is probably 18 inches long in fairly fine print. But these little ankle biters, they memorize those suckers. And we teach them early to get in front of their peers. And one thing you know and I know is that adults hate to be in front of people. That's one of the main fears that most people have. So we teach our kids in this era of communication, it's important to learn how to get up and speak in front of other people. At the same time, it's equally as important to be a great listener. And we love to reinforce the fact that you are not the center of the universe. Other people count. So we have T-shirts that say, encourage one another. And the kids wear them proudly. And I can tell you story after story about how other kids have inspired other kids. And it can work. And that's my message to people. I'll never live to see it, but I wouldn't be surprised if Lehman Academies are across the whole country someday. Probably with the exception of California and Illinois and New York would be my guess, but don't get me going on that.
Why? No, yes, I want you to get going. Why those three states? What's different?
Well, quite frankly, the politics. Charter school is a bad word in a lot of communities. For the life of me, I can't figure out why someone wouldn't want a charter school. There's a guy down right now in San Antonio, Texas. I had dinner with him. He said, what do I have to do to bring your school to Texas? I said, well, part of it's political. He says, well, I know the governor. Okay, step one, that'll help. But I said, well, get somebody to donate his 10 acres of land, because the state actually pays us for every student. So that's not our problem. Our problem is financing, building a first-class school that's got all the safety built into it and all that. We want to do things right. And our schools are very colorful. I think school, I mean, I hated school as a kid. Listen to me. I hated school. But I love our schools. I had a knee operation. I was away from the school for about a month. And I told my wife one day, I said, hey, honey, just drive me by school at recess time. I just want to look at the kids. I missed them.
You know, I've been on a couple of your campuses, and when you meet the kids and when you meet the teachers, there's obviously that surprise that comes with that experience. But the schools themselves, we're not talking about, for the folks who are listening in different parts of the world, we're not talking about Lehman theme parks. We're not talking about merry-go-rounds or animal rides. We're still talking about serious education, and folks, as much as anything, would like to know, since the root of the difference that you've explained to us seems to be your staff, do you have training sessions for your teachers before they're hired?
Well, we do. We have a summit in the summertime where we do a lot of pre-training. You know, as a speaker, Pat, I mean, you can appreciate this. You've been an MC so many times and places, many more than I've ever been in, for sure. But I remember speaking to a group up in Las Vegas. There were, I think, 12,000 people there in the round. And it's a group of women, Pat. I'm the only guy in the place. I don't see another man in sight, okay? The estrogen is overwhelming. And they have this big introduction, and there's like three big screens, you know, around. So no matter where you are in the round, you can get a close-up of the little fat guy from Buffalo. And it comes to this point where, okay, here's Dr. Kevin Lehman, and there's applause. But I got news for you. What are these 12,000 women doing? They're talking, they're sharing, they're communicating. And one of the most uncomfortable things to do, and I share this with our teachers, and I've learned this as a speaker, I don't say a word until that entire 12,000 are silent. And I mean silent. And that's when I start. In fact, I remember the one in Vegas in particular, because when they finally became quiet, I said, I've chosen a topic today, how to be a submissive woman. but my point is, to the teacher, if you want to be a difference maker in that kid's life, you have to engage that kid. But he also has to learn that you are what? The authority in the classroom. And you don't open your mouth till everybody's quiet and all eyes are up front. So I teach, and we have every Wednesday, we have professional development for our teachers. And I do several of those myself during the year. Years ago, I used to teach graduate students at the University of Arizona, classes like classroom management. I enjoyed that. There's a way to do that. That can be fun. So we put a lot of time into trying to get rid of the bad habits that some of the teachers bring to us from traditional schools. And we try to show them there's a better way to do it. And it's not by having the teacher, Pat, do all the talking. So we have in our schools what we call Socratic circles, where there's an assignment to figure something out. And these kids really do a great job of it. And so there's kids sitting outside the circle who will now tap someone on the shoulder and say, hey, it's my turn. And they get that seat in the circle. But everybody in the circle, the bigger circle, is listening. And everybody gets a chance to contribute. And so our goal is to create critical thinkers. Well, what better way to create critical thinkers than to let them figure it out themselves? Mm. We have theatrical performances that are really, really good, quite frankly. I mean, I remember the day I found out the lighting director of the play was a sixth grader. the guy in charge of audio was a seventh grader. It's all done by the students themselves.
My parents, if you'll recall, Kevin, because we've talked about it in the past, my parents were constantly traveling, theatrical family, always on the road. I was homeschooled by my mom, and then private Catholic schools in high school and college that they sent me to. One of the biggest differences that I have been aware of through parents and the kids themselves sometimes is the difference in attitudes in private schools and public schools about discipline. I remember even when I was in high school, when kids were transferred into the Catholic school, they didn't know that the priests could get their attention in ways that were not cruel, but that did not exist in public schools.
Right, yeah. Well, you can still do things in private schools that you can't do in public schools, but the problem is we have failed to establish the authority in our public schools in America. And God bless us, the public schools, because, you know, they're getting shiploads of scholars, of students, we call them scholars at Lehman Academy, who don't speak English, who've just come to this country. I mean, we're asking the educational system to do things that the parents should do. But the families, so many of them are in such bad shape, they're not even feeding their kids. So a lot of kids in American education today get two meals a day right at their school, or they'd starve. Mm. So I don't want to beat up anybody in public education. I'm just saying, hey, you're not going to solve the problem by giving everybody a trophy and an easy way out. In fact, one of our biggest districts in the state of Arizona a couple of years ago took, I think it was 900 eighth graders who had flunked, failed, and they thought it was a great idea to put them into the freshman year of high school. Mm-hmm. And I'm here to tell you that as a that is a disrespectful thing to do to eighth graders who fail. Eighth graders who fail should repeat the eighth grade. And you say, well, now, wait a minute. How long would you do? I don't care if the kid's 17. He's in second grade. He'll have, you know, he's got the biggest desk in the classroom, but he could also help drive on the field trip. So you got to be looking for the positives in all these things.
But how does that happen, and how can it be changed?
Well, it doesn't change because people just look the other way.
People like the parents.
And people like administrators, too.
Oh.
Because as soon as you say that this eighth grader, who happens to have brown skin or black skin or yellow skin or poor white skin, we get into, you know, all the legalities. I mean, I'll ask you a question. You're a smart guy, an only child. Do Americans have the right to a fair trial?
Yes.
Okay. Do Americans have the right to a perfect trial?
For a perfect trial, no.
Yeah, see. Well, see, besides, that's why I say you're smart. You're smarter than the average guy because the way we work is if the trial isn't perfect, we throw the baby out with the bathwater, so to speak.
Does it all begin, though, Kevin, when we're talking about public education in America? Because it doesn't seem to just exclusively be a West thing or an East thing or a South thing. Does it all begin with educating the teachers themselves?
I think a lot of it does. Take a look at what we pay teachers. Mm. I mean, ouch, we just gave all of our teachers a 10% raise last year. I'm telling you, that really takes a chunk out of your budget. But inflation just went up 8.6% or whatever it was. So we're constantly trying to find ways of blessing our teachers. We have in our school, we have the Dr. Lehman Award, and we have the Way of the Shepherd Award, which is the title of a book that I authored on leadership. And those are really sought after, well-respected awards because the people that get them really deserve them. But they also come with a little cash stipend of $2,500. So we're always looking for ways of communicating to our teachers that you're it. You're the one we're all counting on. But you're like the orchestra, you know, leader. You got to pull the woodwinds in with the brass, and it's all got to come together. And so we ask teachers a lot. The average teacher in the state of Arizona will easily spend over $1,000 out of their own pocket mm-hmm. every year. And we don't, you know, we should pay teachers what we pay engineers, quite frankly, but it's never going to happen. But we sure work hard at doing all the things we can to make our teachers know that we appreciate them.
It wasn't that long ago that I was talking to the ambassador to Finland because it was a local person of some renown who was offered that specific position and that honor. And when she came back from those duties after a few years in Finland, she said one of the biggest differences that she found in life there and here, not the temperature, not the language, but the incredible respect that Finnish teachers had throughout the entire country, among the highest, most respected people professionally were the educators, but not here. Why?
Well, we've devalued education. In one of those many books that you referenced a while back, in fact, I was looking for the reference the other day. I couldn't find it because I think I want to use it in a graduation speech I'm going to give in May. But the professor said, with you, we gave you easy B's and A's, and we left you off the hook at every turn. And you thought it was because we loved you so much, you fools. We were just easy to go the easy way as well. I'm paraphrasing what the guy said. But he said that at graduation, and the graduation speech lasted less than 2 minutes. But he essentially got up and said, you know what? We failed you because we haven't held you accountable. We gave you the easy B's. I just saw something about Harvard, like 92% of all undergraduate students get A's at Harvard. I mean, really? I have a hard time believing that. But anyway, we've watered down, you know, we have become a permissive society in way too many ways. And the answer, folks, is not authoritarian. The opposite of permissive, the answer is to be an authority. Be an authoritative person. Your yes is yes. Your no is no. And to provide real leadership, I would ask anybody, no matter what your profession is, you know, on the sea of life, do you have a port of call? Do you know where you're going? Is there a plan here? And most people don't have that. We were over in Germany a couple of years ago, Pat, and just sitting next to a couple and their family, and they had the cutest little 7-year-old daughter. They were from Sweden. And so she spoke perfect English. And I was just really impressed. I said, wow, you can speak English. And Dad popped up and says, she's fluent in 7 languages.
Wow.
Now you go into Phoenix, knock on some doors, and show me the kid that's fluent in 7 languages.
Or one.
Yeah. Don't get me going on that.
Well, when you're talking, though, also about discipline and attention-grabbing specific methods of teaching in that classroom where the teacher doesn't feel as if she's really in charge because of the administration or because of the school board, you know that it does, as we've said, begin at home. So if before the kid ever gets to school, mom and dad have either been indifferent to discipline or they have been excessively strict, where do they find that middle ground that's productive? Have you found that?
Well, it is being the authoritative parent. Parents today want to be their child's best friend. I always remind them, hey, they don't really know, they have friends. They don't need you to be a friend. They need you to be a parent. In fact, I don't think I've ever shared this with you, but I never wanted to write a book. I was teaching at the university, and my classes were rather large, and people seemed to really love them. And all I ever heard was, boy, you ought to write a book. This stuff is so good. And I thought one day, I wonder if I could ever write a book. Well, I tried. Believe me, I tried. I tried to put together something. I didn't even know how to put together a proposal. And I sent it off to 4 publishers, and I got a quick response from a publisher, and he offered me a $2,000 advance. Hmm. Well, Pat, I've gotten $1 million advances, okay. But when I got that $2,000, I mean, I thought I had died and gone to heaven. And so being, I guess there's some entrepreneurial tendencies I have. It's my book. I want it to be successful. But I'm so stupid, Pat. I send a copy of my book to a woman by the name of Dear Abby. It cost me $1.55. I still remember how much it cost to send it to her in Los Angeles. So I get a note back from Dear Abby. written on the same letter that I sent to her. So it's in handwriting. Dear Kevin, I get more books a month than I could look at rather than lift. I mean, something of that. She just got so many different people pitching. I didn't know that. People probably pay her under the table for something, for all I know. She says, and she said, in, she said, watch my column. I love your book. So I call my publisher. This is, I mean, I don't know what I'm doing, Pat. I just called the publisher. I said, hey, I got a note here from dear Abby. I think she's going to say something about my book. And my publisher, who could be characterized as dumb as mud, says, yeah, right. Well, I'll never forget the day he called me, because I was in Los Angeles at the time. And he said, he could, he was stammering. He said, did you see the LA Times this morning? I said, I did. Featured Dear Abby. And she prints my child's Ten Commandments to parents.
Oh.
55 million people read that. And the publisher didn't have the books in the store. So, you know, you learn things through life. I never thought I would ever author all those books. I mean, like I told you, I just did one, and they want three more now. I'm looking at them, so you're kidding. And show you how stupid I am. I signed the contract. So,
is the spirit at the Lehman Academies in Arizona and Colorado, and perhaps soon to be elsewhere, is the spirit the essence of the school in any way directed spiritually? When I was in Catholic school, we always started every day, sometimes every class, with a prayer. And it wasn't a memorized kind of by rote thing. Usually it was pretty specific to the time that we were in, and there was a motive behind it. And obviously, a Catholic school, there were masses regularly that were attended. But what about the Kevin Lehman Academy of Excellence as a charter school, a public school? What can you do and what can't you do?
Well, there's no religious instruction of any kind. We're a public school, but we are historically based, so we can study, you know, the different religions. And we do. So from that standpoint, there's certainly some mention of religion, so to speak. But I think you nailed it. It's the spirit that drives us. I had a parent just call me, and I'm meeting with him Friday morning, and he just out of the blue, he says, Dr. Lehman, I got two kids in your school, and I can't tell you how much we love your schools, but I'm concerned about the future, and I'm in the wealth management business, and I think a lot of parents would really get behind a high school for you guys. And I said, well, yeah, that's on my bucket list. I'd love to have a high school. I don't know if I'll ever have one. But I would like a high school where graduates of Lehman Academy would get preferential treatment. That would have to be part of the deal to get in there. And I would start that school, Pat, probably with a freshman class and a sophomore class.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to build a culture that we've established so successfully at Lehman.
Right now you're K-8?
We're K-8, and we have a pre-K too. Plus we have a virtual school for kids who, for whatever reason, can't or won't come to the classroom itself. And that's a tougher deal. It's tough to, it's a tougher assignment for the teachers. It's tougher on the families. It's tougher on the scholars, but we offer it as an alternative.
What don't you have? What kind of extracurricular activities are there outside of the classrooms that you've proudly talked about, the quality and level of
we have all the sports.
Work? Yeah.
We have all the music and all the theater, music, art. We're big on that. Because we're a classical school. We think you got to teach the whole child. And so many kids have so many just God-given talents that seems to me that pre-K through 8 ought to be a time where we give kids extracurricular activities that will really help blossom those skills that they already brought to our school.
How much can you grow?
How much what?
How much can you grow? You're in Arizona, a couple of schools in Colorado. What's next?
Well, we've looked at Texas, Georgia, Florida, Indiana. What I really need, I mean, I tell people, I'm singing the same song, you know, just to go in and buy 10 acres of land someplace is a lot for us. So we find a builder or a contractor who's putting in a whole bunch of homes. He wants a school that would really be a cool, really great achieving school in the middle of, you know, 7,000 new roofs. We could very well fill that real nicely. And what would 10 acres be to some big builder who's laying in lots of rooftops?
So, do you have to have permission from the State Board of Education or any other facet of state government?
Well, the charter board is like in Arizona. They run our lives. Everything we do is monitored by them. They're the ones that issue out letter grades to our schools. They like us, quite frankly. In fact, I'll tell you a funny story. When we were up there, there were a few of us standing before the charter board. And I mean, if that charter isn't perfect, Pat, you don't get the charter. It's real simple. So
when you see success stories academically, like the BASIS schools here in Arizona that consistently are among the top 5 or 6 in the state of Arizona, do you ever look at them and say, what are they doing right academically? Or what do they need that we're doing?
Yeah, we have a lot of, quite frankly, we have a lot of kids that transfer from BASIS to Lehman.
Oh.
And I think it's because BASIS, and I'm not dogging BASIS, they've done some very remarkable things, but it's all academic. Academic, and a lot of stress. One school doesn't fit all. We're not right for everybody. BASIS isn't right for everybody. But I think as an educator, and I am an educator, I think we deal with a whole child. Places like BASIS doesn't, quite frankly. They can't. It's not built to do that. It's built just to on academics.
What kind of an income do I need as a family in order to apply to the Lehman School of Academic Excellence?
You can be dirt poor.
So that's because you're a charter school?
Because it's free, you know, to the... So I tell people, if you want in this next year, you should have been submitting your application the first week in December.
You mentioned
no room to get in next year, but boy, you better hurry.
Well, no, I'm delighted with your success. I just want the audience, the parents, and some of the kids themselves to know exactly what it is that the decision-making process might be after the semester is over. We've got 1 minute, and I want you to talk to the audience, if you will, about something that you just passed over very briefly, the way of the shepherd, leadership, according to Kevin Lehman.
Well, leadership is lacking across the board, not only in our country, but others. We really try to produce young leaders for tomorrow, critical thinkers. But I think you have to have the heart of the shepherd. You know, the shepherd would go way out of his way just to save that one little sheep that was snarled in a fence. In fact, the shepherd in biblical times would lay down. He was the gate. He actually laid down in this little passage So if a sheep tried to get out, he would know it because they woke him up.
So and The Way of the Shepherd, though, is the latest book.
Yeah.
And
it's
that's,
a leadership book.
And that's available. Lehman Enterprise, just simply check at the bookstore. And very quickly, how do people get in touch with you about a school in their neighborhood?
Well, you can look at LehmanAcademy.com and reach me. And you can look at my website, which is birthorderguy.com.
His spelling is L-E-M-A-N. See? I passed. This is The God Show. That was Dr. Kevin Lehman, and I'm Pat McMahon.